Pray with me. God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for redeeming us and valuing us. Lord, we want to know more about you. We're here to meet with you. We're here to learn about you. I pray for each of us in this room that you would give us wisdom, insight, that you would open our eyes as we open your word. Let us hear from you. Let nothing be said contrary to what you want said. And let us hear from you about you, that we may know you more. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. As we close this series on this idea of things that we have come to say, we've come to have said to us, we might at even times have come to believe these half-truths of things that God didn't say. I'm going to tell you, today is one of the hardest, and I'm going to challenge you. I need you to stay with me from beginning to end. As we take a look at this idea and this thought of everything happens for a reason, we're going to take this apart piece by piece and look at each piece of this puzzle. And some of it's not going to make sense until we get it all together. And so stay with me as we take a look at this idea of everything happens for a reason. That's not scriptural. God didn't say that. We, as individuals, we want a formula. We want things to make sense. We want to know that when there's tragedy, there's a reason. When there's bad, there's going to be good come out of it. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a fallen, sinful, broken world. And there are things that happen that we can't explain. This, for particularly non-Christians, struggle with this a lot, and they get mad at God. You'll hear, why did God let this happen? We're going to take that apart as we look at this. But as we start, think about this. We all know that you and I have free will. We have the ability to go and do and be where we want, when we want, how we want. It's entirely up to us. And what we want is for God to somehow hover over us and make sure that everything's okay. Even if we don't pay him any attention or acknowledge him, we want good things to happen and we want bad things to stay away. And if bad things happen, we want to know that there's a reason for them happening. I'll tell you, I'm amused at watching sporting events. And at the end of the event, there's one team or one person that's triumphant. And you'll hear them say things like, I want to thank God for giving me this victory. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think God sits on Sunday morning and goes, the Cowboys are going to win today. The Chiefs are going to win today. The Raiders are going to lose. The Dodgers win every time. I don't think God cares. Because here's the problem with that mentality, okay? God picked the Cowboys today. Does that mean God hates the team they were playing? I want them to lose. There's not some morning meeting where God's directing which team's going to win and which team's going to lose. and how shallow it is to think God picked this team to win. You know why you won? Because you were better than the other team today. You might have worked harder. You were focused. There was some involvement on you in making this happen. When we look at life, people want things to make sense. And they want a reason why things happen. I'm going to give you what I believe are where we can boil the categories of why things happen down to three things. Everything happens because it's going to fall in one of these three categories of why things happen. Okay, the first is it's God's will. Things happen because it's God's will. Now, as we take a look at this, I want you to remember two things about this. Okay? God's will is never bad. Bad things do not happen to you because it's God's will. People have this mentality where if I'm good, God blesses me. If I'm bad, God punishes me. That's not scriptural. Okay? So God's will is never bad. Bad things do not happen to you because they're God's will. God loves you. The other thing that you need to understand is everything that happens good to you is not God's will. Good things just happen. It wasn't God's will that you were walking through the parking lot and there was $5 laying there. Some things just happen. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. This is a passage of Scripture that most of us know very well. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God's will for you is never bad. Bad things do not happen to you because God said, poof, you're having a bad day because you didn't pray long enough this morning. You didn't read your Bible enough, so something bad's going to happen to you. I know that the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans for good. Period. They're plans for good, not disaster, to give you a hope and a future. Now with that in mind, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. So the first category of the reason that things are happening, and you pick whatever it is, the first category it can fall into is God's will. John chapter 10, verse 9. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And look at this. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd satisfies life for the sheep. God wants you to have a rich and satisfying life. That was His design. When He created Adam and Eve, His will were that we were going to have a rich and satisfying and good life. That's the first category things can fall into. The second one. The second thing, the reason that something could happen is evil desires it. Evil desires it. Understand, we live in a fallen, sinful world. And some things, some bad things happen because of the consequences of living in a sinful, evil world. Look at verse 10 of John 10. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the reason he's here. That's why bad things happen at times, because evil desires that, enjoys that, wants that. There are a lot of bad things that happen in this world that we are searching for a reason for. You can't watch the news anymore without seeing a plethora of bad things. Some of these things are happening because evil desires it. Satan rejoices at a school shooting. And we struggle to try to grasp the why. Because what we want is God not to let bad things happen. Why would anybody ever walk into a school and hurt children? Because the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. If we are going to have free will, the consequences of that is there has to be a good and an evil. What God desires for us is to choose good. But bad things are going to happen simply because of where you are and where we live. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Because people get confused by what takes place here. But let's unpack it for a second. Job chapter 1, I'm going to start reading at verse 6. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. Now, I'd like to do a whole Bible study on just that passage right there. We're going to keep moving. Missy, you can research that for me and tell me what was going on and why. She'll call me at 2 in the morning and talk for 3 hours. So, the heavenly court comes in. Satan comes with them. Why? I don't know. Okay? I don't know. We'll study that later on. Verse 7. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan said to the Lord, I have been prowling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Take note of that. I've been prowling the earth, watching everything that's going on. That is still happening to this day and this moment. Satan is prowling. He is not omnipotent like God. He is not everywhere. He is not a God, but he is prowling this earth looking. And he has an army of demons with him who are loose in our midst. That's part of the reason bad things happen. I was telling somebody Wednesday night, Misty and I travel a lot. We love to travel. And a couple weekends ago, we were out of town for a concert. I have an incredible sense of direction. Okay, you can put me anywhere, and I'll get you out of there. But with this sense of direction, I have the unique ability to find the worst part of any town I go to. You ever been there? How did we get here? I mean, you end up in the worst part of town. Satan is looking and prowling. And sometimes we end up in bad situations just because they're bad situations. But let's keep going. Verse 8. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put walls of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is." Okay, let's stop right there because there's some things here we need to understand. There are walls of protection. They still exist. We should pray for those. Ask for those. Is it going to keep every bad thing from happening to you? No, it's not. But we should be focused on the fact that when I end up in these bad parts of town, I don't stay there. Okay? I keep moving and the doors are locked. Okay? Look at verse 11. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will curse you to your face. Verse 12. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but do not harm him physically, the Lord said. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Okay. Here's the thing we need to understand. God allows you to be tested. He's promised us that. He's told you that you are going to be tested. Understand this. Every bad thing that happens to you is not a result of God testing you. Okay? I believe this kind of conversation between Satan and the Lord still go on. And there are times when God is going to allow you to be tested. But every bad thing that happens to you is not a test from God. It is a result of evil desiring to harm you. And the fact that you and I live in a sinful, fallen, broken world with bodies that are decaying. Okay? There was another conversation where Satan came back and he wanted to test Job further, and he did. And Job stood fast. But I want to show you another story. Because one of the things that people want, especially people who are not Christians, they want to know why things happen. And why did God let things happen? We have to understand every bad thing is not a test. Some bad things are just bad things. I want to show you an example of what I believe that is. Turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You know the story of Lazarus. I believe he and Jesus were extremely close, lifelong friends. Lazarus gets sick. His family is crying out to Jesus to help. They have done everything they possibly know to do to get Jesus to show up and change this situation. You ever been there? Jesus doesn't show up. And Lazarus dies. There's a range of emotions that are going on in Lazarus' family because they know Jesus. They have known Jesus. They know him well. They know where he's at every moment. These are lifelong friends and they want answers. Why? Why did this happen? Like we do. We want to understand why. Look at verse 21 of 11. This is Martha. Martha's feisty. Okay? She has no trouble getting in the face of Jesus and wanting answers. Verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. if you had shown up, if you had changed, if you had directed one step further, one inch backwards, this wouldn't have happened. And she's mad. Okay? This is an angry person at God for letting this happen. I believe Lazarus died because Lazarus was in a sinful, fallen world with a decaying body, and he got sick and he died. Now let me show you something. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Now remember, Jesus knows what's about to happen, right? We all know how this story turns out. Jesus knows what he's going to do. But he's deeply moved and troubled in his spirit. Verse 34. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then verse 35. Every one of us can say, this verse we have memorized. We, as children, memorize this, and we were so proud of it. Verse 35, Jesus wept. You know why I believe Jesus wept? Jesus wept because of what they were having to go through because of a sinful, fallen world. Verse 33 says, he saw his friends, he saw the people he cared about, the people he loved. He saw them weeping, their hearts broken, and he was moved and troubled. Now he is moments from raising Lazarus from the dead, but what he is looking at is people he loves, like in you and I, who are suffering because we are in a sinful, fallen world. And his heart was broken. And he wept because of what we have to deal with. And why do we have to deal with it? It's the third reason that things happen. The first are God's will. God's will is never bad. The second thing is evil desires to kill, steal, and destroy you. That's why bad things happen. We're in a fallen world. Bad things happen. Number three, the reason things happen, and this is hard for people to grasp. Things happen because you chose them to happen. You and I have free will, and we make choices. Some of them are bad. Some of them are really bad. I've had people ask me, why did God let my dad get cancer? God didn't let your dad get cancer. Your dad smoked 4 packs of cigarettes for 40 years. Those were bad choices. As a result of it, a fallen body succumbed to bad things. We're going to make choices that have consequences, bad ones. If I, while I'm riding through the worst part of town, stop my car, get out, and wave my wallet above my head, and bad things happen, and I go, why did God let that happen? Keep moving. Okay? Keep moving. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This is where it all started. Okay? God gave us a perfect environment. He gave us everything we needed. We wanted for nothing. And I say we because had it been us over Adam and Eve, the story would still be the same. Okay? Because it happens to you and I on a daily basis. God gives you everything you need. Everything you need, nothing you need to want for. He cares for every inch of your life, and then we make bad choices. Look at verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Eve is having a conversation with Satan. This is a bad idea. Remember this, okay? Satan is roaming to and fro. Having a conversation with Satan is a bad idea. Satan wants to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy you. He is crafty. He is good at what he does. He convinces her to do the one thing God told her not to do. God said, you got the run of the mill. Do whatever you want. He comes in at the end of the day, says, how was your day? But from sun up to sundown, she's free to do whatever she wants except one thing. And Satan says, that's the one thing you need to do. How many times have you walked in on your kids and go, I told you not to do one thing, and that's what you did. Verse 6, the woman was convinced. She was convinced by a crafty Satan. She was convinced. She saw that tree was beautiful and looked, and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took it and ate the fruit. Bad choice. There are bad things that happen to you because you make bad choices. Period. Not because God let them happen, because you made a bad choice. We live in a world that does not want to take responsibility for our choices. Sometimes we make bad choices and they have consequences. But here's the thing. No matter which one of these three categories that whatever has happened to you that you need an answer to has fallen into, there's a promise. Okay? But you need to understand the promise. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes everything. Everything. That means no matter which one of those categories it fell into, whether it was God's will, whether I just got caught up in an evil, sinful world, or whether I made bad choices. Okay? Either one of those three it falls into. And we know that God causes everything, every one of those, to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. But here's what we got to grasp about that promise. It's conditional. You understand that? It's conditional. God is going to cause every one of those three to work together for good if you love Him and you want Him. Think about it like this. Umbrellas offer protection, right? Maybe it's rain, maybe it's sun, they offer protection. Where do you get the protection? Under the umbrella. Right? But we go around going, why am I getting wet? Why am I getting wet? Why is God letting me get wet? Because you're not under your umbrella. That's why. If you want everything in your life to work together for good, it's pretty simple. You got to be focused on God and not yourself. Even in those moments where you find I have made a really bad, selfish decision, Now, it doesn't mean God's going to take away the consequences of that decision, but what He is going to do is use it for good. It's a promise. But you got to be under the umbrella. You can't walk around out here going, I don't understand why God's letting these things happen. I don't understand why there's no good coming out of this. If you're not under the umbrella, you're outside of the promise. Stand with me. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank You that no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter what bad decisions we make or what evil we get caught up in, You've promised us that You'll use it for good. Father, we know that this world is sinful and fallen, and we are too. Father, I pray for each of us. Change our hearts and let us know You more. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.